Recently, you may have seen, as a matter of fact, an arrangement that we worked in our European subsidiary between Digital Germany, the IG Metall Union, and representatives from our employees as the Workers' Council in Germany. And what we did was create a new employee-owned business, largely funded by Digital, that will absorb the people that otherwise would have been let go in downsizing. It was very innovative. I believe it was the first time that anything like that had been proposed and executed. We have the support of the employees, the unions, the government, and of course, it's good for Digital. And it is a good example of what you are describing as a way to deal with this problem that's less expensive and less painful than just putting people on the street. Now, I'd like to take that model and apply that to other countries where it's appropriate. And to do that, we will be in dialogue, and frankly have been in dialogue, with the appropriate authorities in other European countries where we have this problem. So I think your points are well made. I'd much rather have that kind of a solution or alternative solutions, you know, to the downsizing. I mentioned the disinvestment that we're doing. One of the reasons that we sold our storage business, at least part of it, to Quantum, as opposed to some other bidder in this case, was because we had very little overlap with Quantum, and they were able to absorb most of our employees without any having to downsize those employees. That was a big plus for me. My job function, to be able to go and say, gee, between these potential bidders, here's one that will keep most of Digital's people employed. They won't be working directly for Digital, but they'll still be working on our behalf, and they'll still be employed. So that's the kind of thought process that we're going through here. And we will continue to be in dialogue with the works councils within the various countries. We'll continue to look for innovative ways to solve this problem rather than just letting people go. Thank you. Other questions? There was one over here. Yes.
I'm from Digital in Germany. I'm with the German works council. You mentioned the German model. That model is not yet in place. And I don't think it will come in place because if it is like we know at the moment, because then it's float and think model. I don't think that the German workers will accept a model where they haven't got any chance for their living.
I suppose it's possible for reasonable people to disagree. I'm afraid I have to disagree with you here. We've been working quite hard with the employees there, and I believe that our solution has been crafted. Now, of course, until it's completely behind us, we don't know for sure that it will be acceptable. However, this is not a float and sink strategy. The strategy is to provide time for the new company, to provide that time and financial support so that they can bring those skills to the marketplace, some on behalf of Digital, like we'll continue to use those skills under contract to service our customers and to expand in other geographies from Germany as appropriate. But it gives the new company an opportunity for at least a year to get its kind of legs up, and then it has to compete. I'm afraid that in the world today, there is no other alternative. Companies have to compete, and that means you have to bring valuable services to the marketplace that you can be paid for. We're doing everything we can to make sure that this company has every opportunity to succeed, and I believe we'll be successful in persuading all of the interested parties to support this model as opposed to the alternative, which is, quite frankly, much more painful. Yes?
Yeah. My name is Rob Marshall. I'm with Digital in Dresden, Germany, and also a member of the Works Council here with the delegation.
Mm-hmm.
One point I might want to make on the movement currently in Germany with the new company is that that was an initiative of the German Works Council, and it is also a process, the implementation of which is being driven by the German because we are looking to find a way to create jobs rather than simply lay people off.
Well, thank you for that observation. I think that suggests that since the Works Council did initiate the program and did suggest the program and was innovative in helping us work through it, that they're likely to support it.
The only thing is that the agreement has not yet been signed by management. And maybe
perhaps, Tom, could you add any light on this? Our general counsel, actually, there's quite a bit of work, you know, to get all of the documents correct. Management intends to sign the agreement when presented with the opportunity. Can you give us anything about a timetable?
I think there might be a few details to work out, but I think they're still involved. And I expect them to be done and finished by the end of the month. I mean, that is our timetable, so we are very hopeful.
Yeah. Okay, a totally unrelated issue.
Yes.
That we're looking looking at leadership in the Unix market. Now, I'm a Unix support specialist and have been one of the leading Unix support specialists in Germany for the past 8 years. In recent years, we've had problems because training has been canceled, employees have been laid off, and employees have quit simply out of frustration towards the company, in particular Unix specialists. I am currently covering the entire northern and eastern regions of Germany as the only experienced Unix specialist. And my question is, how do you plan on getting into the multi-vendor business, which means getting into Unix, and doing an adequate job of supporting customers who want to implement client-server configurations and systems and networks integration when you do not have the people, particularly in Germany, support Unix?
Yes. Clearly, first of all, thank you for staying with the company and providing those skills to help train some new employees. We clearly have got to hire some additional Unix specialists. It's quite clear that we weren't serious about that prior to the last couple of years. I think you can see we've made tremendous strides. I'm very proud of our Unix engineering team that have brought us to really a forefront, as you know, technically, in terms of really having the only widely distributed 64-bit Unix in existence, and the one that meets more of the industry standard, Spec 1170, than any other version of Unix. Was identified by D.H. Brown and Associates as being the most modern of the second generation implementations of Unix, but you're quite right, we need to add some new talent. I've been talking this morning about the cost side because of the losses that we've been having and so forth. We also have an investment side. The investment side means you've got to go out and hire the technical specialists that you need, and Unix specialists are in great demand everywhere. So certainly we're losing some to the competition, and we're being able to hire some. In Germany, clearly one person can't cover the whole northern part of Germany, so we need more resources there. Your management has the responsibility to go out and recruit those resources and to train some resources internally to help support you in that effort.
Well, my management is not only willing to go out and look for additional talent, they are also not willing to even give me the equipment I need to do my job, and they are also not willing to make opportunities. I used to hold a lot of workshops in Germany to train technicians in Unix, and those things died over the last couple of years because of all the cost-saving measures. I don't think it's necessary to go out onto the marketplace and look for new talent. Plus, I think it's expensive. The Unix person, in this day and age, who knows what he's worth, is going to cost a lot of money. And he may not have the loyalty to digital that we really require. What we need is to take the people that are currently in the company, and rather than laying them off, train them for those markets that we are entering into.
I believe I noted that. And those that are suitable and want to do that certainly should come to you for that training in your geography. To the extent that you've made that point, I certainly will take it under advisement. I see that management is here. We'll look into it. Usually in digital, what's been effective, you said you'd been here 8 years, what's usually effective, sometimes works, sometimes not, is to send notes on the network to the responsible managers to call their attention to it. And if you don't get some satisfaction there, to move up the chain, you know, to keep informing people. I'm quite interested in your problem. This company is investing an enormous amount of money in developing leadership Unix, and our customers want to buy it. It's clear that we have to be able to train employees and customers on how to use it. If local management's been too occupied with these other activities to support you, we need to get them finished with these other activities so they can support you. And we have that commitment. We want you to have the equipment and the training and the support resources necessary to be successful. I thank you for bringing that to my attention this morning. I would like to give someone else the time because really there are a lot of other shareholders represented here. I'd be happy to talk with you at some later time or send me a note. Send me a note about it and I'll make sure we follow up. Yes, there's a question here, this woman.
Some of these problems of the past managements are going to be solved in the future. Can you give us any numbers of realistic expectations of what revenue should be in the fiscal 97 year and what margin should be that year?
I don't make predictions, and particularly that far out. I think, you think about predictions. How many, really, of the analysts that were following the elections just this week adequately predicted the outcome, really? That's what they're doing all the time. And they have all these thousands of people and all the statisticians. They didn't get it. You know, it was far different outcome, far more expansive than was forecasted. It's not in my demeanor to forecast. Our objective is to return to profitability as quickly as possible. My objective internally, my goal, that everybody in Digital Equipment Corporation has heard me say in digital video networks and in speeches to employees and everything else, is to achieve break even from operations this quarter, by the end of the calendar year. Break even from operations, that's my goal. With respect to revenues, who knows? I mean, we have the opportunity to grow. The Europeans mentioned that half of our business in Europe, and even though Europe is still in a recession, there's some signs that it's beginning to improve. Let's hope it does. If it does, that's a good opportunity. If you look at Q1, we did have revenue growth, as I mentioned, of 4%, 6% in products, 1% in services. So that's encouraging. It's the first time we've seen that in quite a while. But to make a forecast as to specifically what it's going to be, I don't do that. You had a follow-up question?
Yeah. Management's complained that stockholders are quarterly oriented as opposed to the future. So I'm trying to get it back to what...
Oh, well, let me try to answer your question better then. What I'm working toward is a business model that has gross margins in the 30 to 32% range in the relatively near term, and hopefully moving above that as we add more value. You know, but anyway, 30 to 32%. We're driving to get our SG&A in the 15 to 18% range. We're driving to get our overall engineering down to 7 to 8%, which would leave an operating profit of 6 to 8% and a profit after tax nearly as high because for quite some time, we won't be paying a lot of taxes. So that fundamentally, that's the model we're driving for. Whether we'll achieve it in that particular year or not, don't know, but it's a very reasonable model. And my personal belief is there's upside because if you look at our competitors that have that sort of a structure, today most of them have gross margins in that 38 to 40% range, which then would hopefully, if we get our cost in line, fall down in that operating earnings area. So we have a very clear model of what we're trying to accomplish as a corporation. Precisely when we'll get there, of course, no one can be accurate in forecasting. This woman had a question. We, as far as sexual harassment is concerned, yes?
Let me tell you which policy I refer to.
Okay.
It was quoted to me by a senior manager, senior VP. After both digital and the man in question admitted he did hug and kiss me, touched my breasts and several of other women's, I was told it does not count as sexual harassment because he did it to men as well.
If, in fact, this behavior actually occurred, it's quite unacceptable to Digital Equipment Corporation. This corporation has a core value system that does not have any room for sexual harassment or harassment of any other kind based on race, religion, or whatever. Now, excuse me, let me answer your question. We have a very well-defined policy and procedure for escalating such issues in our employee relations organization. We also have a separate from the employee relations organization, an ethics officer and an ethics full-time professional that you can bring those attention, those items to. If you have not received appropriate treatment through the process that I've described and has been clearly articulated for all employees, please see our employee relations manager, Ron Glover, who's here with us this morning, after this meeting. This is a very private issue and should be discussed privately, but I can say to you that this company does not tolerate the behavior of the type that you have alleged this morning. Other questions? Yes. Clearly not. The issue is to become competitive in Europe. I would agree with some of your observations, but not that these subsidiaries were undercapitalized. After all, the company has been in business for 37 years, and for most of its history has been very strong in Europe. What happened, unfortunately, is we added too many resources when we were doing very well, not uncommon to companies doing very well. When we were doing very well in the 1980s, we added too many resources, and not necessarily the right resources, for the marketplace of the 1990s. We cannot continue to lose money at the rate we're losing money in some of our European subsidiaries. It's not true that all of our European subsidiaries are in the same state that you just mentioned, presumably referring to the country that you're from. But that particular country is a problem. We need to get our costs in line with our revenues. We have no alternative. And we have to do that in every geography and in every line of business. Our competitors have. We unfortunately added too many resources. We now have to deal with that. There is really no alternative. Now, in dealing with it, though, as I've said before several times this morning, this management would like to find alternative ways that make sense for our employees, our shareholders, and the communities in which we do business. Alternative ways to just letting people go. We'd like to find that. We'd like to work with our employees and with the appropriate authorities to find those solutions. But they've got to be affordable. They've got to be realistic. They have to conform to market realities. Market realities. The market reality here is digital has been losing great sums of money, as you know. And although our balance sheet today remains strong on a consolidated basis, if we continue to lose money at the rate we've been doing, particularly in Europe, last year losing over $1 billion, in Europe, we will certainly deteriorate that balance sheet. In my job function, I cannot allow that to happen. I will not allow that to happen. We will take whatever steps are necessary to get those subsidiaries into proper operating form.
Can you answer about royalties?
Thank you.
Sorry, you didn't answer my question.
Oh, I'm sorry, I thought I did.
About royalties. Why is royalties are increasing in this country?
I perhaps don't understand the question about royalties. I'm afraid I'm not understanding your question.
The European subsidiaries of digital have to pay royalties.
Oh, perhaps, I don't know, royalties, maybe there's a semantics issue, but the issue is, as I've mentioned in my speech, as we go to a business unit model, by business unit, for the first time in our history, we are requiring that every business unit be responsible for all of the assets employed in that business. This is very new to digital, but it's realistic. It has something to do with the real economic value added of an enterprise. In the past, we didn't charge people for the cash employed. We didn't charge businesses for all of the inventories that they created. And what happened was we had a lack of discipline in the business. We are making a very serious change there, but the change is not particular to Europe. The change is by business unit, and it's uniform on a worldwide basis, and that is that every business unit is responsible for its sales, its costs, the profits, hopefully, and all of the assets employed in the business for which they're responsible. That's the only way that I can see we can move from where we were to where we need to be profitable, and so that is clearly going to happen. But it's up to the subsidiary, it's up to the talent that we have there, and we have a lot of it in Europe, to find creative ways to deal with this and to get profitable. And my personal belief, based on a lot of conversations with employees and a lot of email messages, is the vast majority of our employees, and many represented here today, thank you for your questions, are committed to helping us do that. Of course you're feeling a strain. Of course, we share that. Of course it's painful. It's painful for all of us. We've got to find a solution to it. We're trying to do that as humanely as possible. And we're willing to work with our subsidiaries to find a solution. But not all of the subsidiaries are in the same amount of trouble. And that relates to some of the comments that I've made. Yes, you had a question.
I'd like to change the subject a little bit. For the last 20 years, I've made my living trying to project technology and technology opportunities. And the one thing I've learned is people don't buy technology, they buy capability. And in looking at capability, you usually have to identify a customer set, customers that are doing something that have a need that you're going to fulfill. So when I hear digital say they have the fastest technology, that doesn't mean anything to me. It's how it's going to be used and how it's going to be applied. That to me is the important issue. Now from what you said today and from what I've read, it seems to me that digital's opportunity in the future sort of falls down into the PC area, which I'm going to set aside because we know that business, and the alpha part of it, which is the part that I really don't understand. Looks to me like in the alpha business, as we project out into the future, that the main customer set that you can project for this company is the existing base of BMS users. That would probably be your primary customer set if you look out in the future. A second customer set that might be projected out in the future is the Unix base, and these are the people who maybe have left digital before and gone over the Unix systems. That is a very competitive market with IBM, with Sun, with Hewlett-Packard. As I look out into the future, those are really the only two opportunities that I see you focusing for. And in that sense, I see the market opportunity for digital shrinking as we look into the future rather than expanding. That's my observation. Number one, I would like you to help me understand whether I have made the correct observation or if I'm missing something. And two, I have a suggestion for you after you've answered my question.
Okay. I think that you perhaps are missing something, although in general, I agree with several of your comments. I mean, just by the sheer size of our installed base, in the next few years, that will be the primary source of revenue to digital, although we're growing off that base now that we have a competitive Unix. You have to think about what is our value proposition again. You have to have a value proposition that's built on a credible foundation that really is something you can deliver. Digital largely invented distributed computing and networking in the 70s and 80s. We understand it. In the 1970s, 1980s, it was somewhat easier because we engineered all pieces of the distributed computing environment. That is, we had the hardware, when very successfully, of course, the VACs. We had the operating system, VMS. We had the databases. We had the network protocols and DECnet. We pioneered all of that. It was technology-driven. I agree with that point and that time period. And you engineered every piece of it. And so digital grew rapidly in the 1980s because our computer, our vertically integrated computer value proposition, was better engineered and better designed and more cost-effective than the competition. So we grew very rapidly. But with the advent of open systems, there began to be a horizontal delayering of that value proposition. As you go into the 1990s, what we find is that customers still want applications to interoperate on these networks seamlessly. It's just that the applications don't come from the same vendor. They come from many vendors. The network operating systems don't come from the same vendor. They come from many vendors. The hardware doesn't come from the same vendor. It comes from many vendors. And the opportunity for digital, and where I think we have the most opportunity to add real differentiation, is building on our systems integration and network integration understanding to help customers solve that problem of interoperability of applications, to invest in the frameworks. Now, I can give you some examples. You look today. Digital has a product called AccessWorks. This product is a software product, although you can buy it as a server with the software on the server. AccessWorks integrates every relevant database that's out there. All of the popular databases are integrated as if it were a single database, even though they have entirely different structures and the look and feel of those databases is quite different. You buy the Access product from Digital, we install it, you're going to be able to integrate all those databases. If you look at our MailWorks product, it integrates all of the popular mail systems. If you look at PathWorks, we're selling 10,000 licenses a week or more of PathWorks, which has been engineered to integrate all of the network operating systems that are popular. So these are some examples of areas where we can add value and differentiate our company by being that company that makes this internetworking, if you will, transparent to the user and easy. And you're quite right that there is a big problem there in trying to connect from the PC world to the Unix world. I believe Digital today does that better than any other vendor and is a continuing opportunity for us because there's going to be Unix servers out there on that network and there's obviously going to be PCs because they're already out there. And trying to get this stuff to work seamlessly together, we can actually administer the system and have a cost-effective solution is an opportunity for Digital and it's where we're investing. Can't make it all in just hardware. I also agree with your other observation. Having the fastest technology is nice. It's good. It's a, engineers would say it's a necessary but insufficient condition. It's good to have leadership technology, but technology in and of itself will not ensure success in the company. Customers today are trying to buy solutions to a problem. They're trying to buy an application. They typically go to your application provider and they say, gee, I need an application to solve this problem. And having made that discussion, then they say, whose platform are we going to run this application on? And what company is going to support it after the fact? And who can take care of me as a technology provider? That's Digital's role. We're not going to design a lot of applications in the future. We used to do that. We don't do that anymore. We design the frameworks so that we can integrate the applications. If this sounds a little complicated, it's not. It's very simple. It just is that you ought to talk kind of fast to get it over in the time that we have. It takes a long time to describe the entire strategy of the company. Now, let me add one other point. You mentioned OpenVMS, and we're still investing in it because clearly our first commitment is to protect the investments of our already loyal customers. Okay? You mentioned that Unix, we've come from nowhere to a leadership position, and there's tremendous opportunity there. You failed to mention Windows NT. Windows NT has been a little late coming to the marketplace. Not easy to design a new operating system from the ground up, but it's coming. The latest release of Windows NT 3.5, it was referred to as Daytona in the popular press. This thing's getting well received by customers out there. And many customers are saying, gee, they're going to go to Windows NT. Now you look at Digital. Digital has the widest portfolio of platforms. We have the Intel architecture all the way from portables that we're announcing tomorrow, designed by Digital, portables that we're announcing tomorrow, desktop machines, desk side machines, department level servers, and augmented by alpha servers and alpha stations. So if you look at all of that platform, it'll all run Windows NT. And as I mentioned before, it will integrate Unix and the PC environments. This is a tremendous opportunity for Digital. We're agnostic around these operating systems. Any applications that are going to be written for the Unix environment, we can deal with it. Applications that are going to be written for Windows NT, and there are a lot of them, we can deal with it more effectively than any of our competition. On Windows NT, we've trained over 3,000 professionals to understand the technology and to be able to implement it at customer sites on a worldwide basis. So there's a tremendous value proposition here. Maybe I didn't go over it enough with you on the multi-vendor customer services. Digital today is the benchmark. What do I mean? I mean that today, 100 countries, Digital supports 14,000 products from 1,300 different vendors. Nobody else can do that, not even our larger competitor. So we have a tremendous value proposition for our customers. We have not done a good job in explaining it. We're trying to get a new advertising program, a new marketing program, and a new business focus to explain that value proposition to our customers. We're making progress. I'm confident that we're going to be successful. I would like to stay and take a lot more questions, but I believe this meeting was scheduled to be over 15 minutes ago. You still had a remark you wanted to make. Let me do that one. We agree.
And there's a segment of this industry which everybody laughs at and everybody ignores, but I think it's going to become increasingly important in the future. And that is because they are the people that understand the human interface. And I'm talking about games. And I think if you look at the revenue that's going into the game industry, and if you look at the relationship that the game industry has with the future, if you look at education, if you look at marketing, the human interface is probably the key issue in computers today. And the game people understand that better than anyone else. I suggest you go out and buy a game company.
Yep. Let me make an observation. These days, I'm not in the position to buy any companies, but I agree with most of your observations. And in fact, one of our major thrusts today is to take advantage of, see, you've identified a perfect application. You're talking about an application that soaks up CPU performance. And we have CPU performance, so we are investing in that. In our advanced technology group, we are investing in interactive multimedia, object technology, mobile computing, and the internet. Oh, and what I'm thinking about, you're talking about seeing the future? Look at this internet. This week, I'll tell you a story here, now I'm going to quit. This week, we did a really remarkable thing. I'm totally in sympathy with your direction, where things are going, and we're making the investment. So let me finish with that. Talk about internet working. Digital was the first company to get on the internet, the World Wide Web that everybody's reading about today, that's exploding. First company to get on there and let users access our systems. Take an alpha system out for a test drive. You can actually, over the internet, try our systems out, see how they perform. Well, just recently, in fact, 4 weeks ago, some engineers got some idea of why don't we provide some servers to the World Wide Web internet for the election returns in the state of California. So some people from our research organization out there in 4 weeks designed and installed 3 alpha servers on the World Wide Web there to support the election returns. We ran a little ad Tuesday in the Wall Street Journal, gave the people the universal resource locator so they know what to type in order to access that homepage. In the 24 hours after the polls closed in California, we had more than 1 million file accesses on that World Wide Web, 5 times the previous record ever recorded on accesses of files on the internet World Wide Web. Very impressive technology. Just demonstrated this week. And it was interactive. It was bilingual for the first point. It was bilingual and it was interactive. An interested party could get on the internet, access his or her county and see how things are going real time in the county as the votes were tallied. You can find out all kinds of information statistically going on in the election. 1 million interested users. This is future. There is a future out there for interactive worldwide networking, for getting the information that you want as an individual in the format that you want it, where you want it, when you want it, and at a reasonable cost. And that, again, is part of our strategy. Digital intends to be a major player in providing that capability. Again, I want to thank you all for coming this morning. I far exceeded my time. I apologize for holding you here for that long. It's been a very stimulating and interesting discussion. I appreciate your support. We are determined to return to profitability this fiscal year. We expect to do so.